You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Brian Pape is the founder and CEO of Mir, a Seattle-based company making sleek, reusable stainless steel drinkware products, from coffee tumblers and water bottles to wine carriers and beer growlers too. As we'll hear, Brian's entrepreneurial journey started after a terrible skiing accident. The experience got Brian thinking about creating something with purpose. And to that end, Mir is a certified B company, which has to date given almost $1 million to charities and clean water projects. But as a small business in this time, things have of course been difficult. Mir had to close down its flagship retail and cafe space in Seattle, one of the first cities in the US to be hard hit by the coronavirus pandemic. Being quick to react, Brian and the team at Mir worked with renowned artist Kyler Martz to create a limited edition cup, bringing in a little revenue while giving something back too. A portion of sales go to a COVID-19 response fund, which is supporting food banks. They've called the project Alone Yet Together. Here's my conversation with Brian now with the story of Mir.
Being in Seattle and a global brand, it's been interesting to watch the wave, so to speak. You know, we were initially concerned about our supply side with obviously the pandemic starting in China and being worried about whether production would kick back up and whatnot. And, you know, in the back of my head, it was always kind of, you know, I think this could spread. But, you know, conventional wisdom was look at the history and, you know, SARS and MERS, you know, hadn't really kind of come over to the US when that happened. So it was kind of, it's not going to come over, you know, and then sure enough, it, you know, landed in Seattle and then got pretty bad pretty quick. But fortunately that, you know, I think there's some recent news yesterday and today that the spread has actually slowed dramatically. So I think Washingtonians have, especially in Seattle, have done a good job of social distancing and, you know, kind of staying home for the short term. We'll see how long that lasts, but it's been difficult to be really concerned about the supply side of business and our partners there. We have an office in China, so obviously, you know, very concerned about our own employees there, and then, you know, seeing it come across here, and then having to make the tough decision to close our retail store in Seattle, which is a cafe and is considered an essential business, ironically, maybe because of the caffeine, but, you know, technically we could do to-go orders, but the business was very, very slow. And so, you know, for the health of our employees, we opted to close the store for the last 2 weeks. And we'll be reassessing here in the next week or so of whether we do to-go orders. You know, we've had many people reach out, you know, wanting to come by our cafe and get some coffee or some beans for take home. So it's been a challenge. And then obviously, you know, managing the business of, you know, the change in budgeting and forecasting has been interesting. Not necessarily a pleasant exercise to kind of go to doomsday worst case scenario, but, you know, we are making those plans to make sure that we get through this on the other side. So we're hoping it's temporary, but we'll see how we manage through this.
So you guys make a range of tumblers and cups and beer growlers, I think, as well. Just an incredible range of well-designed stuff. We've been wanting to speak to you for a while because I'm a huge fan, but tell us about the production and how that has been impacted. You mentioned your office in China, so I imagine that has slowed significantly, if not completely.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We design reusable drinkware, and it's been a fun journey the last 10 years. And, you know, it's been interesting because 2019 was such a great year for us. A lot of great growth. We celebrated granting over $1 million since inception to nonprofit partners around the world, and we really felt like we were getting some good traction. And with this slowdown, it's certainly frustrating, but obviously, you know, we want to make sure that everyone's safe and healthy, and we do our part kind of as a global community. You know, it's interesting, our name, Mir, is named after, there's kind of two things to it, which is kind of funny because there's two eyes. So there's a lot of symbolism in our name. And Mir in the US, John Muir, M-U-I-R, it's the tip of the cap to him who helped develop the national park system back in the day. And then Mir in Eastern European languages, you know, from Russian to Albanian, I believe Czech means a multitude of things, but world, peace, and good. And so, you know, in this time, we really feel like there's a lot of strength in our name. And so we lean into that during these times and our values and our practices. And, you know, certainly over in China, at our, you know, our team there, we were, you know, it happened during Chinese New Year. So for, you know, good or bad, meaning we kind of mentally prepare for February to be shut down entirely anyway. So Chinese New Year is typically 10 to 15 days, but then there's a pre-travel and post-travel. And so it usually kind of bleeds out to about a month. And so we always kind of plan at least a month of downtime. So we typically stock up for products. So we were in a good spot for inventory, which was helpful. And then as the factories have come back to work and kind of gotten over a lot of the illness, you know, it's interesting. We're no longer worried about our supply side. We're doing quite well there. It's now the demand side of the rest of the world with everybody, you know, kind of stuck indoors. Not a lot of people buying reasonable drinkware at the moment.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it is a time in our world where people are thinking a lot about their impact, and certainly before this pandemic. But now, even if businesses were open and a lot of them stopped taking reusable drinkware, was that something you guys got feedback about?
Yeah, you know, we watched that in the U.S. happen as well with Starbucks, you know, kind of pausing that program. And, you know, there's science out there that's showing it's not on surfaces for a while. Then it is on surfaces for a while, you know, and I think it's hard to tell. You know, I think the reality is everyone's being extra precautious. And it's certainly frustrating, you know, all the great momentum that was made as far as, reducing single-use bottled water and paper cups and compostable cups and all these very, very wasteful things. You know, you just think about the latex gloves and surgical masks that'll all be thrown away during this time. And yet health is very important as well. So there is a balance there. And, you know, we do feel that while it's tough to go in a cafe and, you know, they may not serve you in a reusable cup, we believe that time will pass. And, you know, even at our own cafe, when that was kind of the going practice, and still is to an extent. What we do is we will make someone's beverage in a ceramic mug, and then ask if they would like to pour it into their cup themselves. So essentially, we would make the latte or the Americano, and then at the counter, they would be able to pour it into their reusable cup, and then that cup, the ceramic one, would go back and get clean and sanitized. And so that was obviously, it takes a more effort than maybe a larger chain would be willing to do. But for us, it was still important that we leaned into our values of reusability. And actually, a lot of our customers were still doing that up until we closed the doors. So I do think it'll return to a bit of normalcy. And then also at home, you know, a lot of people use our products at home, our Pourigami coffee dripper, tumblers, mugs, you know, they're great for outside. They don't break. So we do feel like there's definitely a place even in this time.
Yes, I have my tumbler here in London with me, which is great, keeping things warm and making me feel like I'm still at the office these days. We mentioned the word impact, and you guys are a certified B Corporation. We've mentioned, or we have featured, a fair number of certified B companies on this show, and that means written into your constitution is thinking about performance and impact and actually having that measured. And I know a lot of what you guys do is about giving back. So what are you thinking about in this time? Obviously, you have to think about staffing and keeping the lights on and taking this on day to day. But with the overall mission about impact, what are you guys thinking about these days?
Yeah, you know, certainly a great question. And, you know, one of our board members, we had a board call last week and, you know, just discussing the times and plans. And, you know, she said it's the hard part is, you know, everybody's looking about what to do. And, you know, in times where it's good and there's lots of growth, you know, it's easy to do the right thing. It's really about doing the right thing in hard times, right? And I think that's the measure of someone's true commitment to impact or sustainability or doing good or giving or being generous is, you know, for us from day one, when I started the brand in 2010, you know, we weren't profitable out of the gate. And yet we were still committed to giving off the top line, you know, of revenue, not profitability, because it took us about 3-4 years to truly become profitable. And so, you know, we were doing what we thought was the right thing, even in hard times, when, you know, writing a check to a nonprofit when I wasn't taking a salary. You know, so those are things that we're somewhat used to. Obviously, this is at a much larger scale. And so for us, it's about doing the right thing, even in hard times. And so for us, you know, what that means is, you know, we signed up for Climate Neutral, which is a new movement that where you basically measure and then hopefully reduce, you know, by just simply measuring your carbon footprint, hopefully you can make good decisions and then reduce it. And then from there, you offset whatever is not able to be reduced. And so, you know, it's a healthy check that we're gonna have to cut in April. And so I think, you know, the if we weren't really committed to it, we might go, you know what, we're just gonna pass on this whole thing and let it go. We are a certified B Corp. You know, there's a balance right now of, we're also trying to help our customers. So we do sell to a lot of great brands and coffee shops and breweries around the world, you know, and they're all struggling during this time as well. And so I'm really proud of our team. They came up with this basically camp cup design from this fantastic artist, Kyler Martz. He's done a bunch of stuff with Patagonia and is fairly well known in the Pacific Northwest. He came up with this beautiful artwork of basically, the concept is we are alone in this together, and it's it's on our website. You can see it. It's basically this octopus and there's different tentacles and everyone's kind of like social distancing. but it's kind of the symbolic time of what we're all going through right now. And we actually launched it last week. And it was wild. We had our number two largest revenue day on Mirror.com in the history of the company with this cup. And yet, we were like, you know, we got to do something more than just, you know, sell a cup. We obviously give 3% of our top line revenue day in and day out. But in addition to that, what we decided to do was also give $5 to Feeding America. And they have a COVID-19 response fund for food banks across the U.S. To help support communities that have been impacted by this pandemic. And so that was, you know, again, I think it struck a chord with the artwork. You know, people really feeling like, you know, we are all in this alone together. We leaned into our model of generosity of how can we use business for good. And then our design, you know, we designed it really well. But then what's cool is we've actually taken this, made it really margin attractive for our wholesale customers and said, hey, this is something that we're giving you. We're giving you a tool and you can go out and pre-sell this to your community. So we're not asking for you to order from us right now. Just go out and say, hey, you're collecting pre-orders, go and try to make up as much business as possible and then come back to us in a couple weeks. Let us know how much you sold and then we'll make them and then ship them to you. And then you can ship out to your customers or we'll drop ship them. So, you know, it's really about how can we, you know, do good for the world, the community, our customers, and also our team. So really our team got to rally around this project and I'm really proud of the work that they did on it.
Yeah, I've noticed it on the website. It looks great, this Alone Together Camp Cup, as you call it. Really cool design. You know, in this time when we're hearing from all kinds of businesses, you know, CEOs are sending out letters to their customers and trying to engage on social media just to say, you know, hey, we're out here or we're doing this. It's also a really sensitive time, I guess, to do new projects and to drive new business. Did you guys talk about that at all, what it would be like to put out a new product in this time?
Yeah, you know, there was quite a bit of conversation around it, and you know, there was talks of more SKUs and, you know, building on it, and we said, let's just let it simmer, let's just let it hang out for its time right now, because it is, you know, there is a balance of, right, like you're scrolling through social media and then you see somebody just advertising a brand new product that has absolutely no relevance to, like, it's like the campaign got written a month ago, you know, or 2 months ago, and it just doesn't, you're like, huh, that doesn't really fit. And so there is a balance of, you know, hey, we're still around, we're in business, we're trying to help our customers, we're relevant. You know, certainly you don't want to be seen as, you know, profiting off of this. And, you know, it's interesting, we had one person on social media kind of getting after us for, you know, how could we sell something for this and only give $5 out of the 30? And, you know, I think this person fundamentally misunderstood the point of business and even our motivation here, where, you know, it's also about keeping our team employed, right? So if we can provide something that's compelling and interesting and, you know, someone's willing to buy a camp cup that's also able to help us keep the lights on, I think that's really important. And I think, so there is a balance of, we do need to make money because we are a business and we do have to pay our employees and we do have bills to pay. So we do need to sell something. So it's about how do we do that in a tasteful way? And I think we've pulled it off with this cup where people feel connected to it. They love the art. They love the message. It's doing good. So it's, yeah, I think there is a balance there though.
That's really encouraging to hear. I'm just curious about the team and how you guys are sticking together through this, obviously with your flagship store and an office on the West Coast there. I imagine you guys are together a lot. So how are you these days keeping in touch and how are you keeping the team motivated?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, it's truly unprecedented. You know, I think this word's being used a lot, but there's few words that describe this, and I think unprecedented is definitely one of them. And, you know, for us, it was quite the adjustment. We had a work from home policy pretty early on, as, you know, the pandemic spread to Seattle first and early. And so we had people who wanted to work from home just out of abundance of caution for, you know, whether they were caring for a family member or were going to be around grandparents in the future. So, you know, we had a pretty early work from home. Anybody that wanted to work from home could. So that happened pretty quick. You know, we were actually in the middle of an office move before this whole thing kind of broke out. So most people were kind of already packed and quote unquote ready to go. So a lot of people we had a work from home week planned in the calendar anyway. So that worked out. For us. And so, you know, the team is obviously, you know, we're using a lot of video conferencing. You know, we've always had a policy, you know, we have three offices around the world. We have one in China and one in Seattle, and then we have a small office in Boise, Idaho, where there's some folks there. And we've always had a pretty early policy from day one when we use video conferencing that unless, you know, your bandwidth is low or it's super distracting or whatever, you know, it has to be a very, very valid reason to turn your camera off. So we kind of have a camera on policy. So that's kind of always been in our culture. So it was fairly easy for people to get used to that. Obviously, we had to quickly adapt. Like when you're on a conference call with, you know, more than five people, everybody be on mute. You know, we've had all company meetings where you've got 40, 50 people on there and it's, you know, everybody has to be muted. And then it's a little bit challenging and we're kind of working through that. And, you know, our team has a good sense of humor. And I think it's, you know, we also have a saying internally that calm is contagious, which came from a saying from a buddy who was a former Navy SEAL commander. And his whole thing was calm is contagious, and if you lose your head, you lose your head, quite literally, because he was out in the field and, you know, fighting these battles. And if you, you know, just freak out and stand up, you could actually die. And obviously, it's not that dire working in an office situation. However, with a pandemic and all these things happening, you know, calm is contagious, and I really think that's something that everybody in their team have embraced and kind of understood that, you know, we just need to maintain that level of civility to each other, a bit of grace in these times. And I think in the past, it's kind of been taboo to work from home and have your kids running around, and that has all gone out the window, right? Like the new norm is very different. And so, you know, it's fine if your kids are in the background making silly faces on video chat or, you know, your pets are in there. Those are embrace those. So we've kind of leaned into the taboos and the things that, you know, people are all worried about. We're like, yeah, embrace that your hair is funny. And we've even had one team member who every day he dresses up differently. So he'll dress up as a different character and he'll be, you know, or just a genre. He'll be a rocker, a punk rocker, or I can't remember what he dressed up the other day. I think he was like Jim from The Office. And so, you know, things like that really, really keep the team, you know, motivated and on top of things. There's been virtual happy hours, obviously, you know, things like that. So it's been encouraging to see the team bond. And I truly think we'll come out of this on the other side better and stronger.
That's great to hear. I think I'll have to use the dressing up for the Zoom meeting for our editorial meeting. That would be great. We've been having a daily power song, which is really helping have some nice motivational music. Brian, I wonder if we just hear about you personally and how you're dealing with this. And I wonder if we could go back and just look at your personal history. The sort of company was born out of a bit of adversity for you, but that allowed you to sort of follow in the footsteps of your grandfather and some entrepreneurial spirit. There is a great story on your website, but I wonder if you could just tell us about how you sort of got started and how that's impacting sort of how you're leading the company today.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting times because I think the underlying fear here is death and loss of loved ones, right? I think that's what's gripping the world and the notion or the potential of it affecting you or someone close to you. And that's real. And that's, you know, it's scary times. And I think, you know, for me, I've had this unique, fortunate, unfortunate kind of life circumstances where, you know, Mir was born out of this idea where I really wanted to merge business and philanthropy. You know, I saw this model of you build a company, you amass wealth, and at the end of your life, you give it away or you give back, right? And I thought, well, if you don't make it to the end of your life, what happens during your life by not being generous? You kind of miss out on that piece. And so for me, you know, it kind of found me. I didn't find it, so to speak. And in 2006, I was filming for a ski hill, a local mountain in Washington. And long story short, ended up hitting a tree, broke my femur. Basically, the femur is your biggest bone in your body. And when you break your femur, you can hit your femoral artery. And if you hit your femoral artery, you'll essentially bleed to death in about 10 minutes. And unfortunately, I knew this because my roommate had done something similar a few years prior. And he survived. He came back from the hospital and he was just saying, hey, never break your femur skiing because if you do, this could happen. It didn't happen to me, but it's super likely. And fast forward a couple of years, here I am sitting against a tree and my leg's broken in half. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could literally die in 10 minutes. And so for me, I had this very clarifying moment at a fairly early age of, you know, the first thing I thought about was it was a reflection on like my life. So I was very self-absorbed. It was about me, how I could improve my life and make money and do, it was all about me. And so to prove that point, it literally, my now wife, we've been dating for 3 years. It took me breaking my leg to realize that like I should marry her, right? Like that's how self-absorbed I was. And so the first thing was, oh my gosh, if I live from this, like I am dating an incredible woman. Like I should absolutely like wrap this up, get married and let's be on our way, right? And that was 12 years ago and we have two kids now and we work together at Mir. So that ended up working out. And the second thing I thought about was what would people say about me at my funeral? And it was, again, what would people think about me, right? So I was very focused on me. And so I realized that nobody would have gotten up and said anything positive about me or helping my community. And it struck me because my grandfather had passed away about 10 years earlier. And I remember his funeral, people were lined up out the door talking about the things he had done for them, you know, the company that he had built. And it really struck me that here I was, well, early on in my life, you know, my life had almost ended. And so for me, that was kind of a catalyst for me to use my life to build something that's bigger than myself. And I certainly feel like we've done so today with Mir, you know, crossing over grants in $1 million, you know, having 40, 50 employees and growing this global brand around the world that hopefully is, you know, part inspiration, part practicality of just reducing a need for reusable product or for single serving products, you know, like paper cups and plastic bottles in this ocean crisis with all the plastic there. It's, you know, a fundamental need that we need to be more mindful about what we use. And so all that to say, you know, transitioning to today with the pandemic, you know, I think that experience and I've already kind of quote dealt with death in a sense of I've been there and I've been at that door and I certainly would like to continue to live and hopefully, you know, do not become impacted by this virus in a negative way. But I think for me, knowing that there is a bigger purpose and there's a bigger calling than just me day in and day out running a company gives me that sense of calmness and perspective, I think, that can help in this situation where, you know, I'm not freaking out. I know we'll get through this. I don't know how we'll get through it, but we'll get through it. One of our core values that we call our practices at Mir is find a way. And so I think that's really apropos for today's day and age that, you know, we don't often know what it looks like, but we know that if we're committed to that value and that practice, that we will find a way through this. And it may look different than what we thought in January for sure. And it may look different than 2 weeks ago. You know, every week kind of gets a little bit more real, right? And so, you know, for me as an individual, that's kind of the perspective that I bring to the table and hopefully lead at the company. And, you know, it's definitely a lot of stress and a lot of work to make sure that we can get through this alive.
Fascinating story. And it's incredible that, you know, taking that existential moment and turning it into purpose and then a greater brand and company is absolutely an amazing story. And we appreciate you sharing that, Brian. I wonder if you could just lastly share a few thoughts for business owners today out there who might be still trying to sort through the impact on their business going forward because of this crisis. And if they came to you, what you might offer to them just on priorities and what's the main points of focus should be in this time of crisis, really?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I'm lucky enough to have, you know, a lot of really wise people around our company and our board and people that, you know, have kind of been around the brand for a while. And, you know, it's it's definitely not an easy time. And, you know, we've been checking in with other founders and buddies and friends who have companies and, you know, their families. And it's, you know, I think the consistent thing is that, and I'm a huge believer in this, that you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of somebody else, right? Like if you're not healthy, you're not going to be able to lead the people around you. And so, you know, I think that looks different for different people. But I think, you know, my encouragement to other small business owners and people who are running a company and kind of looking for, you know, what are practical, like absolute things that you can do. And I think every day it's really about making sure that you're taking care of yourself, you know, from what you're eating, you know, are you getting sleep and are you working out? You know, those three things can solve a lot of potential problems. You know, I think mental health, you know, is obviously on the rise and the awareness of it. And I think that's so, so important, especially for leaders and founders to make sure that your head is right. Because if you're getting proper exercise and you're eating well and you're taking time for yourself, then you're going to make better decisions as opposed to kind of like running around with your, you know, your head cut off and worrying about everything and stressing out and panicking. You know, there's definitely moments of panic, but taking time to calm yourself and to know that, you know, you are in this position for a reason and that you will get through this. So taking care of yourself, I think, is really, really important.
Very well said, Brian, and I appreciate your time. Thank you for this. Brian Pape, their founder and CEO of Mir. Find them at MIIR.com. My thanks to Brian for his time and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bage. Thank you so much for listening and goodbye.